A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "In praying, do not babble on like the pagans, who think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is how you are to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we have forgiven those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you yours. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive you your transgressions." The Gospel of the Lord. Throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us a new standard, a standard different than the pagans, a standard different than the Jews, the Pharisees, their understanding of what God asks. He gives us his standard. And today he gives us his standard of prayer, that we are not to pray like the pagans do, thinking that they'll be heard by just continuing to babble more and more words. We're supposed to pray confident in the love of God the Father. We are supposed to pray as beloved sons and daughters. And we're supposed to pray for specific things. First, for the most important stuff of all, that God be hallowed, that his kingdom come, not just for us, for others, that his will, which is the will that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, that that will be done. Then we ask for what we really need, the stuff to survive, our food, not just material food, but our super substantial bread, the Eucharist, which is the word there, that we be forgiven our sins, and that we share that mercy with others, otherwise we won't open ourselves up to receive it, that we not fall when we're tempted, and that we be delivered from the devil. The real essentials. We're not supposed to pray like the others do. Let the Bruins win last night. As important as that was, I mean, come on. Some of the times we pray for things that wouldn't be against the Lord, that wouldn't be with the Lord's will. We're supposed to pray in a different way. We need to take these words to heart, because we hear them many times and we say the prayer of the Our Father thousands of times, but often we don't let the standards that Jesus is teaching us sink very deeply. Keeping in mind that standard that Christ sets, and the last of these petitions, deliver us from evil, let's look anew at the first reading from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. At first, with great humility, he says, put up with a little foolishness. But in fact, it's the most important wisdom of all. He said that he presented the Corinthians as a chaste virgin to Jesus, so that the church in Corinth might always remain a chaste virgin to Jesus. Somebody totally committed to the Lord. Somebody who was faithful. Somebody who would never cheat. And then he says what? But I'm afraid that just as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts are being corrupted from a sincere and pure commitment to Christ. We're being tempted away, just like Eve was tempted away by the devil. We're not remaining faithful with a sincere and pure commitment to Christ. Pure, we all know that. Totally unadulterated. Sincere means truthful. Sanctere. We get the word sanctus, holy, from being sincere. It means we chop off whatever is unholy. We have no tolerance whatsoever for it. Chop it off. And then he says, why? For if someone comes and preaches another Jesus than the one we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it well enough. You tolerate it. You're fine. It doesn't disturb you. What was going on in Corinth? You had all these other people coming in, powerful preachers. They were talking in ways that pleased people. The Corinthians were sexually debauched. So you had these Gnostic preachers coming on in saying, doesn't matter what you do in your bedroom. It doesn't even matter what you do with your body. It's only your spirit that matters. So if you want to use your body for pleasure, why do you think God gave you your body? Just to suffer? No, he gave you to enjoy yourself. So enjoy yourself. And so on. We have been betrothed to Jesus as a chaste virgin. We're supposed to love our husband with great fidelity, with a sincere and a pure commitment. If someone comes and preaches another gospel than the one passed on to our church, do we tolerate it well enough? If somebody were to come in here and say, as happens in other places, it's going up in Boston right now with a church up there, and the Boston Globe wants to put it as it has in the editorial, in a column, and on the front page. Hey, we welcome with pride gays. Let's celebrate Gay Pride Day. On the same day that you go out and gyrate on the city streets and look half naked, come here for a celebration because we welcome you. We welcome you. Now again, we're supposed to always welcome everyone. Church is a hospital for everyone, but it's a hospital. We don't come in with people with illnesses and say you're just fine. The church exists to welcome and to call to conversion everyone. And that part of the conversion message just isn't being preached up there. We welcome our brothers and sisters with same-sex attraction. But we don't celebrate gay culture, which is totally contrary to the gospel. So if there were someone here preaching that message, would we put up with it well enough? Would we be polite? Or would we say, I will not cheat on my husband with you. I will not allow you to seduce me away from this gospel. Somebody comes in with another seductive cunning. Separation of church and state. It's your freedom. It's your choice. You vote for who you want. That's a totally different decision outside from the faith. You're not supposed to talk to God about this. He doesn't care. It's your vote, your choice, your life. Do we put up with it well enough? Based on a half-truth, are we able to be averted from our sincere and pure commitment to Christ, from the gospel that we have received? We're called to live by higher standards. We're called to be truly faithful, sincere and purely committed. And when another gospel is preached, we're called not to put up with it, to recognize our faith well enough that when the serpent is around, rather than negotiating with the serpent, we do what Christ did in the garden.